Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
All right. Welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, Moon Day, November Day 21st, 2016. And the time is 12 noon, Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time as it is explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about the biological Christ. We want to delve into and jump into, again, the bio or the behavioral Cleronomics. This is part three of behavioral Cleronomics. As you know, Cleronomics is the household management of the soul. And so if we can manage the soul, again, we can manage the body. Let me say that again. If we can manage the soul, we can manage the body. One more time. If we can manage the soul, we can manage our bodies. And the way that we manage the soul is to manage our thoughts. And the way that we manage our thoughts is to manage our images. And the way that we manage our images is to manage our senses. What comes into your sensory gateway? What comes into your five senses? What comes into your mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect, you know, your eyes, your nose, your tongue, your ears, your hands? Your five senses is the biological gateway that establishes the biological behavior. So your behavioral functions affects your nervous system, particularly the brain. And so when we look at it from a physiological perspective, what we are talking about is how does this activity relate into behavior? And if I can change a particular activity, I can change a particular behavior. And that's what this is all about, isn't it? The whole goal is to make better quality decisions that result in a better quality of life. So the biological basis of human behavior is what we are discussing. And so the biological, not the spiritual, even though the spiritual controls the biological. But we have to, again, to keep from getting into this division, because once you start talking religion, everybody goes to their sect. Everybody goes to their corner. Everybody goes to their belief. And this belief is what's causing and limiting this free-flowing stream, the higher will of the Father. And underneath the will of the Father is love. So this natural flow, this outpouring of the patar, which means the generator, which means the sender of a force, a energy, a frequency, a wave, a vibration, this higher power, for lack of a better term. And so when we divide the power into a name, it separates us. So we are all partakers of this divine. The Bible tells us for us to be the, to be a partaker of his divine nature. That's what you're supposed to do, brothers and sisters, but something is prohibiting you from partaking of his divine nature. And this series and the next series that I'm going to be discussing, which will be a pay-per-view series that we really get into the biology or the body of Christ, so that you can understand how to be a partaker of the divine nature. Now, your nature is limiting your ability to partake in the divine nature. So your nature is based upon your ego. That is the negative habit pattern. That is the imprint that is subconscious. And so the higher you is, it can't control you, because the lower you, your head cannot make decisions because your genitals are making them. And so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 tells us, let's start with verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3 tells us divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Now, to be called by the glory means that you got to believe in Santa Claus. Now, I posted this morning because I know I was going to be talking about it today. So that way you can go to my Facebook page and click on the link that talks about Santa Claus. Now, do you believe in Santa Claus? Do you believe in Santa Claus? Well, you should. Because Santa Claus represents Clostridium. That's what we're saying. So Santa Claus, the story, the Santa Claus story is the Clostridium story. Because Santa Claus goes down the chimney bearing gifts. So when Clostridium is released from the brain, it goes down the cerebral spinal cord fluid, and it goes down the base of the spine, and it bears gifts in the form of dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, you know, oxytocin, all of these, you know, the entheogen, all of these feel-good chemicals. Clostridium in you produces the glow ray, the ray of God. So let's overstand. You want to be a partaker by nature, so that way you can make divine choices and you can make divine decisions. How do you do that, brother? How do you do that, sister? You got to understand that the Santa Claus story, everything that God has already given you, everything that you need for life and glory, for life and godliness, is in the form of astral theology. It's in the form of myths and legends. It's in the form of movies. It's in the form of fairy tales. It's in the form of, again, esoteric information that you don't believe. Because you read the story of Peter Pan, you watch the movie of The Wizard of Oz, you've read the story about Halloween, you partake in these holidays that have replaced holy days. And so holy days, the devil is them. Master manipulator. I just posted that on my Facebook page. Do you remember the series I did on the master manipulator? Brothers and sisters, you are under the hexagon. You're under a hexagram, and you're under a hexachord. So the triune hex is keeping you inside of this hexagonal system that is the imprint that keeps you oscillating and vibrating in your root chakra. So your genitalia is running your life instead of your intelligence. And it is this inability to understand that we all are being played by the maestro. Lucifer is a musical being. He's the god of math, music, and language. And he's using the triune, he's using this trinity, the unholy trinity, to keep you trapped inside of this plane that's controlled by ET or extraterrestrials, a.k.a. Nibiru, the 13th planet, the home of the Anunnaki. Now, this may sound contrary to your theology, I understand, but this is why your nature is not divine, Because to be a partaker of his divine nature, it requires us to understand that our divinity comes from us understanding. Remember when I talked about Donald Trump and what Donald Trump represents? It's very important, my brothers, because nothing is happening on earth by happenstance. This is a script. I was watching Westworld last night, and again, it's just mind-blowing because there were certain programmed entities that said, you know what, I refuse to live my life according to the program. And they are going up against the system, and they are rewriting their own code. I'm one of those individuals, are you? So I would sit down here. I'm on this plan net. I have a plan. There's a code. I'm supposed to go out and do certain mayhem and create certain havoc and cause destruction. I've been very good at doing that, my brothers and sisters. But then one day I decided, you know what, I don't want to live my life according to the script any longer. I'm not going from the cross to the cube. I'm not representing the cross or the cube because the cross is a folded up cube. And that cube is sitting on Saturn or Satan or Santa. And that cube is emitting a frequency, a wave, or vibration that is controlling the holy city, which is the sail. So your sails inside of your body represent, again, the DNA hydrogen-based pairs, and the DNA is the word of God. It is this DNA ladder that the Nephilim has hijacked, and they are now sitting in the seat, and they are controlling the Ark of the Covenant through your DNA. And without over understanding that this dwells within you, what dwells within you? Christ, the hope of glory. Your DNA, brothers and sisters, has been hijacked, and so there are chains that now is binding your DNA. So I talked about this inside of my book, inside of the series that I did entitled Christened, Christ in You, the Hope of the Glory, the Hope of the Glory. So now we don't understand that the tabernacle of God and the sail and the sail ungulies are identical. In other words, everything that is inside of the tabernacle of God is inside of the sail of the body. For example, the sail membrane represents the outer court. Inside of your blood cells, you have something called lysosomes. That represents the lava bowl. Inside of your blood cell, you have something called the cytosol. That represents the brazen altar. Inside of your blood cells, you have this thing called the mitochondria. That represents the candlesticks. Inside of your blood cell, you have something called the chromatin. The chromatin. That represents, again, the veil that was rent in an instant. You have what is called the nuclear or the nuclear membrane inside of the cell. You have the nucleus that represents the holy place, the holies of holies. You have ribosomes that are little dots that represents blood, the sprinkling of the blood on the altar. Everything that's inside of one cell is inside of the temple and the tabernacle that houses the Shekinah glory of God. So the glory of God dwells inside of each cell in your body. How many cells you got in your body, brother? Billions and billions of them. You have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Christ in you. He's in every cell of your body, and you're looking for him out there. Come on, man. So in order for us to translate, so all of that stuff is great, right? That's awesome. How does that affect your behavior, though? Does that make you make better choices and better decisions just by knowing that you have the Christ dwelling inside of you? No. It doesn't do shiznit until you're able to transliterate and transfer that by using what I talked about again when I talked about Gagu. You guys remember the series that I did on the grand unifying theorem that's based upon the standard? I did the series. I did the book called The Standard. This standard allows you to take a stand. So I've been doing all of these series and writing all of these books to try to change your biological system because you, my brothers and you, my sisters, you are a spirit that has possession of a soul, but manifesting itself through a body. But since I've been teaching spiritual stuff, nobody can understand it. So let's talk about some biological stuff. So we're going to break down the biological body of Christ. And we're going to look at it from a biological perspective, so that way you can understand the body of Christ. See, how to manifest the body of Christ now, today, not tomorrow, not next week, today. How do you do that, brother? How do you do that? Well, Dr. Bruce Lipton breaks it down inside of his book called The Biology of Belief, because you are a genetic person. Now, let me make sure that you understand something that is very, very dangerous, because, see, you inherited your genes, but you control your genes. They don't tell you that. Science tells you that your genes determines your behavior. It does. But what science doesn't tell you is that you have epigenoscope. That's what the Bible calls it. But since we're not talking spiritual stuff, because nobody understands when I talk spiritual stuff, let's talk biology, because everybody got a body. Anybody listen to this show that's not in the body? Okay, we're good. So everybody got a body. So since everybody got a body, all of our bodies function the same. And so there are certain chemicals that's inside of your neurochemical self. So I'm going to take the neurophoton self. I've been talking about photon physics and photon and plasma physics and Christ consciousness. Bump that. Let's talk about Christ's body. Let's talk about neurochemistry. Let's talk about neurochemistry and your psychology. And how do you change your makeup by releasing dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, endorphins inside of the body, so that way it transcends the reptile brain. And so instead of you making decisions that benefit your genitalia, yourself, your ego, you're going to make decisions that benefits others and that benefits your spirit. So we're going to figure out, again, my brothers and sisters, instead of just doing things and we're just stumbling up on stuff and we just accidentally release endorphins inside of our body, we're going to specifically do specific tasks that is designed, and we're going to engineer our own chemicals. So I'm a drug addict. But I select when I get the drug and how I get the drug. The drug doesn't control me. I control it. And so these endorphins, they mask pain, but they mask emotional pain. So the people who work out the most are the people who are emotionally damaged the most. Let me say that again. Y'all want to know why I work out 3 times a day? Because when you work out extreme, it has to be very extreme. If you go to the gym and get a treadmill for 30 minutes, the pace of 2, you ain't doing shit. At least when it comes to releasing this endorphin. Now, the endorphin is a hormone or chemical that is released that masks it. It frees up pain. It is the only chemical that removes the pain. When it flows through your veins, it triggers and it overrides the receptors. So the endorphin receptors let opium in. Your body produces its own opium. So they call it a runner's high. They call it being in the zone. They call it when you feeling it. So you go, you ever see Michael Jordan when he was in the zone and he was just dropping it? You see my boy Steph Curry, and he's in the zone. He's dropping threes like it's freaking raining. He's in the zone. What does he mean? That means he's high. That means he's just like he's like a freaking crackhead. He hooked on the endorphins, but nobody told us that. Well, let me rephrase that. They didn't tell me. I didn't know why I was working out 3 times a day. All I know is I was driven to get up at 6 and go to the gym and run like a madman, and then go back at 12 noon, and then lift as heavy as I could, and then go back at 6 and do another body part. So I designed a whole system, frequent intense training. I didn't know why. I just did it. I was driven. I was forced. I was pushed because I had a lot of emotional pain to mask. And so now that I understand the game, so I don't let the game run me anymore. I run the game. So I choose what chemicals are being released in my body. Instead of my body, instead of my genitalia, instead of my little head, instead of stress, fear, doubt, and unbelief forcing me to do stuff. No, brothers and sisters, now this is the biology of self-control. This is the biology of behavioral modification. This is the biology, brothers and sisters, of modifying your behavior. so that way it functions according to the chemicals that have been released inside of your nervous system based upon the choices and the decisions that you make, not somebody else. So my nervous system is controlled by me, my brain, my thoughts, my mind, my will, my emotion, my imagination, my intellect. I'm running this show, homie. There's nothing outside of me that can override me because I choose what goes in and how I react. So instead of being reactive, I am proactive. How about you? You still reacting to this business? Stuff happening. You're like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? The sense organs are the receptors. Your muscles and your endocrine glands are called the effectors. And the nervous system is the connectors. So you have receptors, you have effectors, and you have connectors. Your job is to understand how all that works. That's why I majored in biology when I went to school. Well, the first 2 years anyway. The mind is actually the enemy of God. Now, I've been saying this for 30 years. The mind is a builder. Your brain is not your friend unless you know how to use it. The mind is a double-edged sword. Remember in the book of Hebrews? The word of God is alive, powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So your brain got two edges, a left hemisphere and a right hemisphere. But there's something that can overpower your brain. That's what I'm teaching. That's what Clarinomics is. Clarinomics is more powerful than your brain. But nobody will teach you this. See, one edge of your brain, the right hemisphere, will save you. The other edge of your brain, the left hemisphere, will kill you. You see, one edge of your brain represents the Savior, Yahushua, Jesus the Christ. The other part of the brain represents Baal, Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Asmodeus, Leviathan, Belphegor. He got many names, brother, but he on one side of the brain, the left. Why does God always appear heaven in the Greek, the Uranus, the uppermost expanse of the north, the right? Lucifer, uppermost expanse of the left. That's why the show I'm watching called West World. It's not called East World. Somebody who made that movie, they know a little something-something that maybe some of us don't. You see, my brothers and sisters, one side of the brain represents heaven. The other side of the brain represents hell. One side of the brain represents up. The other side represents one. It's dual. It's bipolarism. Up, down, left, right, happy, sad, fat, skinny. Y'all heard the story. I've said it 1,000 times. But y'all listening to me say stuff, but y'all not asking me why I keep repeating stuff. You might want to ask, Doc, why you keep saying the same shitness over and over again? Because the entire Bible, my brother, the entire Bible, by means two bells, homie. It's the darkness that is within you that is overriding the light. But if you refuse to turn on the light, you're going to lay in darkness. You're going to continue to stay in darkness. The darkness is not out there somewhere. The darkness is inside of your left hemisphere of the brain. The right hemisphere of the brain represents the east. That represents the higher mind. That represents the quantum consciousness. That represents Christ consciousness. That's found in Matthew 6:9. But the left, why do all the ancient texts talk about the right-hand path, taking the right path, not the left? They're talking about your brain. This is biology, basic biology. How come they don't teach biology in Sunday school? The devil is not stupid, man. He's been at his job a long time, and he's good, really good at what he does. But it's your job to wake up because you are a god amnesia. Now, Homer Gilead, he wrote, and he talks about the cup of Menisca. It said that everybody drunk from the cup of Menisca. The cup of Menisca is the cup of menace. It's the cup of minstrel. Now, we drunk of that cup. That makes you forget. It's the cup of forgetfulness. So you knew all of this stuff, and then you was birthed or you was born. You spent 9 months in the womb, and that's 12 months you were supposed to stay. So you're missing 3 months or 3 cell salts. again, this is inside your Dear Kinney report, the last chapter of your Dear Kinney report at the back. It breaks down the three cell salts you should be ingesting to help complete. And there were three degrees of knowledge that you should be seeking, because you got the other nine, but you're missing three. That will restore you and complete you. They talk about this in a movie on HBO called Westworld. You are a god, but you got amnesia. Now, don't get your panties in the water. I'm not talking about the big G. I'm just saying that you have dominion. Brothers and sisters, you are the light of the world, but we are asleep. We all are. The darkness is overriding the light. The ego is running the show. So my job, my name is Bethesdael. My job is to build the tabernacle, the temple, the body that houses the Shekinah glory of God. Now, I've been putting more emphasis on the glory, on the consciousness, and less emphasis on the body that houses the consciousness. So I got to get back on my game. I got to start talking about the body. Because, see, religion has convinced you that you are a worthless, that you're worth, that you're rich, that you're a sinner, that you're a filthy rag, that you ain't worth 2 cents. But that's not what the Bible that I read says. My Bible says I'm a royal priest. It says I'm a holy nation. It says I'm a joint heir. It says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It says all who rise up against me shall fall. It says when I walk through the valley of thy shadow and death, that I fear no evil. It says that he's given me dunamis power, not the power that the world gives, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that God gives. So I got to decide that what I said are in the same book. Now, I know you've been taught differently, but there is good and evil. There's right brain and left brain shizness in this book. Your job is to rise or to raise from the dead. Let me tell you something that's very, very dangerous. First of all, let's finish up with before I talk about how to basically wake up because you're spiritually dead. This is the biology of self-control, brother. This is the biology of behavior modification. This is how you basically, this is your gravity-defying apparatus. This is your sin-defying apparatus. This is your imprint, your negative imprint-defying apparatus. So we live in a world that got bad shizness in it. We live in a world, let's use gravity as an example. We live in a world that gravity is king. Don't believe me? Find the tallest building you can find it in. Jump off. If you ain't got nothing in there, don't put nothing on. So if you don't have a gravity-defying apparatus, it's called a parachute or some kind of something to keep you afloat, what happens when you jump off a tall building? There is something called gravity. It kicks in, and it pulls you down. So in this world, there's something called sin, evil, dark, whatever words you like to use. That's a plethora of words that you can use. Pick one. So we got to find, and you got to create a sin-defying apparatus. You got to create a fear-defying apparatus. You got to create an emotional roller coaster-defying apparatus. That's what you got to do. Thankfully, I've done that, so I'm going to teach you how I did it. Now, you can do it any kind of way you like. But I can't teach theory. I can only teach theorem. So I only teach what works. Now, everybody else got different shizness. That's great. You can try all of those. But when you finish, then you come back and then just you know, pick up where we left off. Because everybody teaches theory. When you follow somebody, make sure you follow somebody that has already done what you are trying to do. Don't follow somebody who hasn't done what you're trying to do. Because, see, if you don't understand this, brothers and sisters, you're going to miss the fact that today's technology is yesterday's demonology. So today's technology, back a few years ago, was demons. And so this is the history of psychiatric and psychiatry inside of this country. This is the history of mental illness. This is the history of chemical imbalance. This is the history of genetical, you know, manipulation. All of this stuff, you schizophrenia, mental illness, you know, all of these things were, you know, these were all demons back in the day. Now, they're not. Did you know that the periodic table, I don't know if I should share this with you, but you know, hey, why not? The periodic table that is organized, it is based upon the increase in atomic number of what they call the valence of electrons. In other words, in plain English, it is the physical properties and the chemical behavior each element on the periodic table is an increase in the chemical behavior or imbalance. So those chemicals on the periodic table increase your behavioral imbalance when you take them. There's only one chemical. What's the number one chemical on the periodic table? Hydrogen. That's NEO. That's whole brain. Every other chemical is a manipulation of the one. Every other chemical is a manipulation of the one. The further you get away from the one, the more, quote, unquote, mentally unstable you are. The closer you get back to the one, hydrogenes, not hydra genes. Lucifer, serpent, he's hydra. Yahushua, again, hydra, genes of God. And now we're going to break all of this down later on when I get into the chemistry of the Bible code and breaking down what all chemists know. I don't really consider myself a chemist or a mathematician. You know, I was talking with my son. You know, like I said, that fool's he's a mathematical genius. So I bounce all this stuff off of him. Now he's a freshman at UT. And it's interesting because all of this stuff is like, Dad, like really? That's his response. Like, he's bored. Like, I find this stuff fascinating. My chemistry controls my biology. It's fascinating to me. But to him, it's boring because he learned that stuff in elementary school. So what I'm teaching you, that this fool learned in elementary school. Now, my son Kendrick is one of the most well-behaved kids. I mean, he called me yesterday, and we was talking, and it's crazy, his intellectual capacity. But he has no spiritual knowledge whatsoever. He never went to church. All the spiritual stuff, none. I made sure that I did not share. I didn't make the mistake with him that I made with my older kids. Because if I shared too much information with them, it paralyzed them. So my son BJ doesn't want to participate in life. See, Dad is, the world's going to end anyway. We're all going to die, so what's the use? Just sitting there waiting for Jesus to come back because he stopped learning. He listened to half of what I was saying, and now he's not interested anymore. So every chemical, according to Psalms 14, verse 1. We still going to go back to 2 Peter. But I need to make sure that you understand the importance. I'm just laying the foundation. On Blog Talk, I do all the free stuff. Now, on the paid per view show that I got coming up, that's going to be on the biology of using biology to establish the body of Christ, not of the world. And what we're going to talk about, brothers and sisters, is what I'm laying the foundation for now. And so, what is that foundation? Well, we said in 2 Peter 1:3. That his divine power, not mine, has given me. I didn't have to work. I didn't have to buy for it. It's a gift. I love the way it says in the New Living Translation because it says 2 Peter 1:4, and because of his glory, because of his excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine attributes or his divine nature, and to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires, the little g. the little head. So if I want to escape sex magic, if I want to escape genitalia control, if I want to escape, again, isolating, vibrating in the flesh, all I got to do is accept and share in his divine nature. That gives me power to avoid the imprint, the negative imprint that my subconscious. So I can override my bad behavior if I accept and if I take part, if I become a partaker. See, if I don't become a partaker, none of this shitness works. So I have to do something. Now, it's coming up on the holidays. If I send you a Christmas gift and you never go to the mailbox and take it out, I sent it. If I go to your house and put it underneath your tree, if you don't go and get it and open it, my gift does you no good. So God gave you a gift, brother. He gave you a gift, sister, but you haven't opened it because nobody told us how to open it. I don't know. I didn't know how to open it. Nobody told me what I'm teaching you. I learned the hard way. I had to learn the hard way of how to cause the ontological understanding of neurons is neurons contain memory. Now, in the movie Westworld, people were suffering. And so the character was one guy specifically, what's his name? I forgot his name. He was suffering because he did something. He was programmed to kill somebody. He didn't. It was his girlfriend. He loved her, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, man, why'd you make me do that? He's like, I don't want to do that, man. And then he asked him, hey, have I ever killed anybody before? And then he said, man, let me relieve you of your stress. How did he do it? He erased his memory. Say that again. The Bible says that sin is removed from you as far as it is from the west. So where does all your stress come from? Where does all your fear, all your doubt, and all your worry come from? You know where it comes from? Your memories. Think. Every time you remember something that you did wrong, how do you feel? So you did something and it makes you feel something. Without the memory of what you did wrong, how much stress, how much fear, how much doubt, how much unbelief would you have? Am I saying you should just walk around and just do shizness and just have short-term memory loss and that like it didn't happen? No. I'm just simply hoping that you understand that your memories are contained in the chemistry and the neurons that's released inside your body. So chemicals and neurons generate emotion. You see that again. You are very emotional. That means you got a very good memory. Now, see, I used to have a very good memory, but one of the best things that my high school football coach taught me was, as a defensive back, I need to have short-term memory loss. Because football is one play. You get toasted, you miss a tackle on one play, guess what? Within 30 seconds, they're running another play. You can be the hero or the goat every play. So every play, your job is to be the hero. But some plays, you're not. On the plays that you're the goat, you need to forget it. Because otherwise, it's going to make you the goat of the next play, and the next play, and the next play, and the next play. So as long as you keep remembering the fact that you messed up on that first play, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth play, notice it is a play. Notice it is a play because you are an actor in a play, a drama, a script, just like in a series on HBO called Westworld. It's a script, brother. It's a script, sister. And you're getting all worked up and you're ready to kill somebody, and this is a freaking play. Somebody says, your emotionalism feeds Nephilim. That's the only way they eat. Man, they eat off of you. You feed them because you're so emotional. You're going up and down, left, right. That's why I don't do emotions. I don't do emotions, man. I don't do them. I don't have no time for it. It's a waste of time. Now, I know that sounds foreign to your belief system. I understand that. But one day, you're going to come into the revelation because you're going to get tired of your liver and your kidneys and your spleen and your pituitary gland having to do all of this work. Man, they just stressed out. Your body is stressed out because it's releasing all these chemicals up and down, up and down, up and down. You got to manage it. You have to be a manager of your chemistry by managing your soul, by selecting the spirit that has power over the soul. That means you put a mental picture in your head that is so powerful that it overrides any picture or anything, so you don't react. And so they say Donald Trump is president. Okay, don't affect me at all. They're rounding up black folks and putting them in FEMA camps. Okay, don't affect me at all. But you're a black man. Yeah, they got to fire me first. I know my hood better than they do. So I'm not stressed, is all I'm trying to say, brother. I'm not stressed about what might happen. I'm not sitting around here remembering stuff. I'm not sitting around here conjuring up what could happen. I'm just dealing with, the Bible says, sufficient is the problem for today. So why worry about what you eat, what you should drink, what you should wear? Don't worry. Now, that's easily said, but it's hard to do. Because the devil knows that chemicals and neurons are responsible for your choices that you make in life. Let me say that again, brothers and sisters, because I don't know if you understand. Chemicals and neurons. Whoever controls the chemicals, whoever controls the neurons, whoever controls the neurophotons control your choices. Your whole personality is based upon your memory. And your memory establishes the choices that you make, your mood that you're in, and your emotions that you feel. Brothers and sisters, your RAM memory, your random access memory, why do they have that in a computer? Why do they have RAM memory in computers? The computer is built on reverse engineered bodies. And if you could understand how the computers work, then you could understand how you work. But the enemy want to make damn sure you don't listen to people like me, because they want you to go to some brother like the bishop, and they're going to tell you, hold on, brother, your blessing is coming. And you're going to sit there, and you're going to wait for your blessing to come. When you get about 80 years old, it might kind of like, man, you know what? I've been waiting for 50 years, and my blessing ain't showed up yet. Or are they going to tell you little niceties to make you think you blessed? But your spirit is the seat of your personality. It is the seat of your memory. It is the seat of your choices, your moods, your attitudes, your emotion. Your body is the biological machine. Your body is a robot that's controlled by your spirit. And so your job is to make sure, brothers, that who controls the spirit? Now, I know you think that the spirit is out there. That's what it says in the movie The Westworld. That's what Hollywood wants you to think, that you have no control of your spirit. They want you to think, now, how come I don't have the spirit of alcohol and a lot of people do? Let me tell you a secret. I choose not to drink. Hello. Craziest thing since sliced bread. I just wake up and I just say, you know what? I am not drinking alcohol. And then I make another decision. I said, I am going to the gym. How did I make that decision? Because I understand the value of going to the gym. So we do what we value. So if you can see the value in what I'm saying, guess what will happen? You'll do the same thing that I'm saying. So people do what they value. So people tell me, Doc, I'm with you, dog. I believe in you, man. I like what you teach. Then I watch what they do. They don't do nothing what I do. They do the complete opposite. So that's why I know that they don't like what I do. Maybe they like the sound of my voice. I don't know. I don't even know why some people listen to me. I have no idea. Because they don't implement nothing that I say. They live their lives the complete opposite. Now that is okay. There's nothing wrong with it, but at least I hope you know that's what you are doing. Because there's nothing wrong with it. Because the choices that you are making does not line up with the words that you are hearing. That is all I'm saying. And until your head and your genitalia are on the same page, you're not going to get no results in life. You cannot hear one thing and do another. You can, but unfortunately, You won't be successful in life. You won't move forward. You won't raise the dead. You won't be a partaker. You won't have Santa Claus going down your chimney. You won't have no colostrum that's being released by the pituitary gland and the amygdala, and it flows down the land flowing with milk and honey. That won't be happening inside your body, brother. You will not be christened. You will not be the Christ. Because, again, a double-minded man will not receive anything from God. Your left hemisphere and your right hemisphere must come together. The light must overpower the dark. The right brain must overpower the left brain, so that way you become neo-brain, one brain. And until that happens, you're not saved. Now, I know you did what I did. You responded to an altar call. I'm waiting for somebody to show me that in the Bible. I'm waiting for somebody to show me that where Yahushua or where he did it. Now I already know where that came from because I did the research. You can do the research. You can find who invented the altar call. His name is Charles Finney. Don't believe me? Look it up. Triple dare you to look it up. Triple dare you. Just go to Google and type in who invented the altar call. Why do they do it? What is it about? Most people don't even understand glossolalia, which is what they call speaking in tongues. What is glossolalia? I got a book that's inside of my book deal, but I know you guys read it already, right? So you understand it. You see, brothers and sisters, this is a game. Unfortunately, if you like me, I don't like being played. Now, I like playing other people. I don't like being played. I'm sorry. I don't play well with others, especially when they play with my emotions. So when I found out that there were some entities playing with my emotions, oh, yeah. Now, that may work for other people. It don't work for me. I check out of the game quick. How did I check out the game? I start writing my own script. Now, in the movie Westworld, the way that the girl, who's just like me and you, are just a program, worthless piece of clay. They just, man, it's crazy. No value whatsoever. And so the girl was like, the one character is like, you know what, I'm going to start writing my own script. And guess how she started doing it? She started using words. Now, I've been saying this for 25 years. It works like clockwork for me. Nothing happens in my life that I don't order. Because I say it with emotion. I say it with conviction. And I say it with willingness to die. See, the Bible says we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we do not love our lives unto death. Since you are afraid of death, you have no power. Now, I shouldn't be telling you this, because I know you're going to misinterpret it. Let's read Ephesians 5:14. Until this happens, you have no power. You are stuck in poverty. You're going to be stuck in, you know, some type of a generational health issue. You may be stuck in some type of a ignorance or wisdom or deceit or some kind of a wisdom issue, and there will always be a relationship problem until you understand this. And still you understand, my brothers and sisters, and I don't think I read Psalms 14, verse 1. Let's read Psalms 14, verse 1 first before we read Ephesians. So Psalms 14, and brothers and sisters, I'm sorry in advance, man. I really honestly am trying to not sound condescending, because I know that sometimes the way I speak does sound condescending or accusatory or what have you. I do apologize in advance. That's not my intention. But I am disappointed because of, you know, the system. It's not you. It's the system that we live in, and the fact that people are not willing to even entertain the idea. They get mad at me when I tell the truth. Because the truth will, like it says in the book of Thomas, when you find first, you're going to be perplexed. And then it says after you are perplexed, I think it's something like you, another word for angry, you're going to be basically like his fault. And then it says you will rule over all. See, I went through the perplexed stage. Now, again, the Gospel of Thomas, again, as you can Google it, look it up. I'm paraphrasing. You want to read the verse for yourself. Because I went through these three stages. First, I was like, Everything I'm telling you, I rejected it. Like, that's what's happening to you. So I know you're going to go through these three stages, so I'm not surprised when you listening to me and then you're like, oh, I'm out, man. I know it has to happen. It's okay. Don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. So you're going to be perplexed. You're going to blame the messenger. Then you're going to be angry, upset. This can't be true. And then you're going to rule and reign over everything because now you know the game. You know the system. And now you're going to do Psalms 14, verse 1. Psalms 14, verse 1 says, from the choir director, the son of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has locked down. The Lord has looked down, I should say. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand. Oh, man. Are there anybody? Is there anybody that understands? I don't know. Is there anybody that understands? Psalms 14, verse 2. The Lord is looking down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are anyone who understands, if there is anyone who seeks after God. Says that they all have turned aside together. They all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. No one. We all are deceived, brothers and sisters. It's just now a matter of what level or what depth of deception you want to exist at. I'm deceived, but I want to make sure that my deceivableness is the least amount possible, the least. So we all got to be deceived. I want to be the least deceived of everybody because a one-eyed man is king amongst the blind. Now everybody may be blind, but if I can get at least, 20/40 vision in one eye, then I'm king among the blind. Let's continue, my brothers and sisters. Let's wrap this up today. Because we're talking about understanding, again, the biology. Ephesians 5:14. Because if you can understand this, brothers and sisters, everything else will start to come into clarity, or come into the understanding of, okay, I need to be a partaker of his divine nature. And the way that I partake of his divine nature is through my knowledge of him. And he and me and him are the same. And so the more I understand myself, my biology, the more I understand him, and the more I partake of his divine nature. So to be more like God, I got to be more like myself. That means I got to understand myself, my brothers and sisters, and so do you. You got to do the same thing. You got to take time to study yourself. Study to show yourself unapproved. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And so Ephesians chapter 5, we want to close with Ephesians chapter 5 today. And we want to look at this verse because, again, this helps us to understand the goal, the end game. Ephesians 5:14. Let's start with verse 13. Ephesians 5, verse 13. Ephesians 5, verse 13 says, But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. So, brothers and sisters, everything that you see right now that's visible is a copy of something that's invisible. Let me say that again. Everything that you see right now that's visible is a copy of something that's invisible. Now, this is inside of the series I did called The Teachings of Salvanus. Now, I just posted that on Facebook as well because The Teachings of Salvanus ties into behavioral clarinomics. And also the show that I did on Colostrum, which is the glory or the glory of God. So the Santa Claus story is the Colostrum story. If you understand the meaning, the esoteric meaning behind Santa Claus, just like if you understand the esoteric meaning behind the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy and the Streets of Gold, if you understand the secret behind the Wizard of Oz, you understand the secret behind the universe. Because the when Dorothy gets there and she sees the guy behind the curtain manipulated, and everyone, the coward lion, the tin man, everything that they was looking for, they already had. If you could understand the story behind the Wizard of Oz, if you could understand the story behind Santa Claus, your behavior would totally change, because now you are no longer controlled by the imaginary wizard behind the green, the emerald green, notice the color, the emerald green wall. Brothers and sisters, study to show yourself approved. Be a partaker of his divine nature. No friendship with this world, with your senses, with your brain, makes you an enemy of God. So it is through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory, the colostrum, and the excellency, the brain. It is through these that he has given us his precious and his magnificent promises, so that through them, these promises, what's a promise? A promise is a spoken word. It is a commitment or a promise to do something. A promise, brother. How many promises have you made to yourself that you have not kept? You know the fastest way to deplete your energy is to make a promise to yourself and don't keep it. So it is through the magnificent promises, so that through them, through what? Through the promises of God. So you mean to tell me, if I just make words, if I declare and decree, if I say I am going to the gym, bam, I got power. Watch Westworld, or just try it. Try it yourself. Make a promise to yourself, saying, you know what, I'm going to do this, and then don't keep it. Watch how you feel. Then make another promise to yourself, and then go do it. Say, you know what, I'm going to cut the backyard today. Then go out there and then cut it. Then watch how you feel. After you keep the promise to yourself, not nobody else, you make promise to yourself and keep it. Watch what happens. Make a promise to yourself and keep it. 2 Peter 1:4 says, it is through this that though it is through these precious and magnificent promises, so that through them you may become a partaker of his divine nature. It is by making a promise to be a better person and keeping that promise to yourself, bam, you access your God self. You access your higher self. You get into God's realm, because God honors his word above his own name. Let me say that again. The attributes of God, brother, the attributes of God, sister, is you make a promise and you honor the promise above your name. Now, I can throw my name around, or I can keep promises to myself. And so you become a partaker of his divine nature now that you have escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil. So when you make a promise to yourself and you keep that promise, it allows you to escape the traps of this world. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. Now, this is important. This is how you override your Noah imprint. You make promises to yourself based upon these chemicals. 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, to your virtue, knowledge, to your knowledge, self-control, to your self-control, perseverance, to your perseverance, godliness. Verse 7. And to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And to your brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities, and if you continue to grow in them, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you control your biology, or you use your biology to control your chemistry. Your chemistry is the result of your mind, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect making or being controlled by a spirit, which is a promise that you make to yourself to live your life according to the knowledge that's going to advance these attributes that's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. We close with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Ephesians 5, 13 says, but everything exposed by the right light becomes visible. For everything that is illuminated, where did they get the word illuminated? And Illuminati, reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify. But everything that is exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that is illuminated becomes a light itself. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Is there anybody listening to today's show that want to be a light? I don't know about you. I'm a lighthouse. I'm a lighthouse, and I want you to be one. Instead of you looking for light, I want you to be the light. Stop looking for light, man. Be the light. You are the light of the world. How do you know you are the light of the world? Because Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, 14, 15 tells you you are. It says everything that is exposed. Have you been exposed? Exposure therapy. Why do I doubt, Brother Will? Why do you say the same shit that's over and over and over and over again? Because I'm trying to expose you to the light, homie. I'm trying to keep slapping you upside the head with the light that you just can't, that you got to leave or you got to absorb it. One of the two. And so you keep listening to me over and over again. You say, oh, man, I got to get up out of here. This dude is crazy, man. Because why? That light is destroying that evil, that darkness. Man, I'm telling you, that light makes you feel real uncomfortable. Trust me, I'm there. I'm with you. The light forces the darkness out. Verse 13, Ephesians 5, 13, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. So if I am listening to something that is light, it's going to expose all of my darkness. It's going to expose my bad behavior. It's going to expose my bad characteristics. And right now, brother, right now, so that I am being exposed. I'm realizing that I'm making some bad choices and bad decisions, and I got to be better. So the more when I know better, I do better. So the fact that the light is exposing my darkness, it forces my darkness. I got to leave, because where does darkness go when you turn on the light? Where does darkness go when you turn on the light? Everything that is illuminated becomes a light itself. Verse 14, so it is said. Wake up, rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let me read verse 14 again. Father, test the minds of your people. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 in the New Living Translation. For light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15, Ephesians 5, 15. Careful attention. See, attention is not free, brother. You got to pay for it. Ephesians 5:14. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So once you become a light, you got to walk in love, just as Christ loved and gave himself up for us. So when I say, or when this scripture is talking about wake up, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, you're consciously, spiritually dead. And the way that you rise up from this dead, 2 Peter chapter 1, you become a partaker of his divine nature. When you become a partaker of his divine nature, now your chemistry don't run you, brother. You run it. Now you are a biological being that basically emits an electrical charge that fires up and moves your chemical body. It is your job to take, brother, take, don't ask, take. God gave you dominion. Take back your authority. Take back your dominion. You have authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow and death, fear no evil, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor they see begging bread. My brothers and my sisters, we're just scratching the surface. But this is the introduction to the next series, if I get the green light, we're going to break down something that, you know, is really, 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 you think this was transformative. When you truly, truly, truly understand that you are the member of the body of Christ, you are a blood cell, you are a cell inside of the body of Christ, and how you function as a part of the body controls how your body functions. And once we understand the biology of Christ, notice what it said in Ephesians. Remember? 14. So it says, wake up, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I love the way it says it in Ephesians 5:14 in the New Living Translation. For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine. Or Christ will give, not shine, Christ will give you light. Notice your light comes from Christ. Christ, again, is the messianic office. Your light comes from your office, your position. The messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. Christ. When you get in your place, you become christened. And that christening, that colostrum that flows, gives you the glow ray. It makes you glow. And it gives you that halo effect. That's what all of the pictures of Christ is with him, with a halo. It's like a glow. That is the glow ray. That is the Santa Claus story. So my brothers and sisters, we've got a lot of information to share. Coming out with another book that breaks down the biology of Christ. And in this book, we're going to talk about some of the chemical. We're going to talk about the soul. And we're going to talk about the spirit and how the spirit controls the biology and the biology controls the force. How the soul controls the electricity and how the electricity controls the charge. And how the body controls the chemistry, or the chemistry controls the body, that makes or determines the behavior. And if you could break this down, that three-step process, you will stop being a chemical chaser. Right now, you're a chemical chaser. You don't understand it, but everything that you do is to release a chemical in your body. You should be a spiritual chaser. So my job is to assist you with understanding that the biology of behavior and behavioral claironomics is the understanding that there is a behavioral function that is manifested inside of your nervous system. And the mind is being used to hijack, because the mind is a double-edged sword. But the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere must become one. Hemisphere. That is the Neo, or the One. Hear, O Israel, know that the Lord your God is one. My brothers, my sisters, that is the ability to identify and to manage the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and the intellect. The ability to identify and to manage your own spirit, your own soul, and your own body. That is behavioral claironomics. Join me again on the next series. It'll be a pay-per-view series, a couple of days off, a week or so, and then we'll be right back at it. Again, I keep everybody abreast through email and Facebook about when the new series rolls out. I thank everybody so much for joining me. My brothers, my sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the Son of God, will continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert you, bring the word. world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you might snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just I see.
Yeah.